Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're picking up our study here of this this book and this chapter in verse number 9. Our overall subject is teachers, deacons, preachers, and pastors, the ministers of our Lord. Brother Paul is writing to Brother Timothy, and we understand, if we understand it correctly, the place of Timothy's ministry is namely Ephesus. Maybe it's somewhere else in Asia Minor. Maybe it's over in Greece or up in Macedonia. We know that the brother was sent to Macedonia ahead of the Apostle Paul at one time. And so he's instructing him about the things that he needs to instruct the people of God. You and I, we who are saved, we've got the new man that lives within. Our Lord Jesus Christ has saved us. The Spirit of God lives within. But yet we have this old flesh. And it's drawn away yet to the world. It hates the Lord just as much as it ever did. It's full of sin and full of corruption. The only help for it in the end will be for it to be killed off when we have a body like Christ. But in the meantime, our Lord has left us in this way. And you know what? We can overcome. We can overcome this flesh. The Lord has overcome everything. And by His power, and we preached this morning, by His power, we can do that which is good. We can pursue that which is good. We can do that and lay up those treasures and bear that fruit unto our Lord that is eternal. Here in verse number 9 of this chapter, the brother is dealing with modesty. He's dealing with that evil of nakedness. And why is that? It's here, boom, it pops up. Why is that the case? Why is it that the Apostle Paul would instruct the young preacher, the young pastor, about this, about what to instruct? That's what he's doing. He's teaching him so that he might know what to teach them. We know that Brother Timothy has a mother that's a Jew and a father that's a Greek. And the thing is that if his ministry is indeed found in Ephesus, an understanding of that context will help us about what's going on. If indeed our brother is called and namely ministering at Ephesus, or even the pastor of the church at Ephesus, understand this. Where we read in the book of Acts in chapter 19, we saw that those people held to a deception that some of the Greek gods had a maiden, and that image of that maiden was cast down to the earth. In the book of Acts in chapter 19, it's referred to as Diana. Other times it's referred to that of mythology as Artemis. And I tell you what, don't study mythology. It won't do you any good. Whenever I look into things, try to understand the context, and I think to some extent I should do so, I just feel filthy when I get done. Because that's what it is. It is filth indeed. This image of Diana is grotesque. To anybody that understands about holiness and righteousness and that which is pleasing unto the Lord, the image is grotesque. I don't recommend to you, it is grotesque, it is vulgar. I don't recommend to you that you even search for it or look for it. Just take my word for it, it is. It's appalling. This image is all in the head and everything is all bound up with all types of ornaments. And what's typified there is gold and the plaiting of the hair, and her hair is all made up and like to a tower and everything. And then there's that about her body, the upper part of her body, that is just naked. It's just wide open and naked there. She's attributed to be the god of all things that are living. That life, that of the wood and everything, is nourished by her. It's just terrible the way that it is. The rest of her body is bound, and there are different animals that are hanging off of her. And what the image is showing is that all of nature goes to Diana or goes to Artemis to be nourished by her. That's the thing that is there. But it's vulgar. It's just a vulgar thing. That's the god that they worship. We're at the time now in this day that the Greek Empire has passed and the Hellenistic age has taken hold after the death of Alexander the Great. And it's a result of that. But now we're living in this Roman period at the time that this is written. And what do the heathen do? Well, they'll take a god of any sort and they'll make them their own. And other names are given. In this case, Diana. This goddess is also represented as being the goddess of the sky and of the earth and of the nether world. They just keep on expanding it to suit them. That's the way pagans are. They just dial it in for what they want. And their gods are very much like men. And whatever it is, they take a notion to emphasize. Artemis is depicted not only in this grotesque figure that I've mentioned some to you about, but also as a woman that takes on a man's position, great hunter. She's got a golden bow, I believe it is, and silver arrows, and she just loves hunting deer. And she goes to pursue that, which is from the Lord that men should be doing, to be a provider for their families, usurping that, scantily clad, scantily dressed, and wearing the boots of a man. Confusion in the order that God has given. Oh, and she's revered. She's one of the three maidens from the gods. But the problem there in Acts chapter 19 is they didn't so much revere the God as they revered the money they could make out of her, did they? Right? So nakedness is an issue in the day of our brother. And you know, we deal with this. I hate to see summer coming on because people take off their clothes. And it's getting worse and worse. As days go on, people will begin to take more and more off. And Lord being our helper, may the Lord help us. We live in a day now of nakedness, especially when the weather gets warm. It's just going to keep on going because unless the Lord intervenes in our nation, what's going to happen is the laws that we have to deal with nakedness and nudity and public and all that, it's already fallen apart in some areas in our land. You can go to some cities, and especially when they have special events and all that, people are going around naked. And what the law enforcement does is they've come to a position as, well, we've got way more to deal with than we can deal with these misdemeanors. So what they do is they just try to corral it, not let it get out of hand, they say, and it goes on in our land. Well, as the children of God, we're to listen to what the Lord says about nakedness. And so we need to know this. And those people in that day, listen, they were saved from that way of life. It was just normal for them to go around naked, for the women to take the office and the position of men and what the Lord had ordained. It was just normal for them to pursue those things and to do those things. This goddess, this image, stood there in Ephesus as a testimony to all things wicked and evil against the Lord, or many. And so the saints of that day had to deal with that. And they had to deal with what the Lord had saved them from and that. So that context, I trust, can help us about this. It is a goddess, not a god. A woman, supposedly, that is their god. In verse number 9 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, he wills that the, in verse 8, he says, men everywhere pray, lifting up holy hands without doubting and without wrath. Verse 9, in like manner also, so the place of the woman, and this is by God, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, orderly apparel. And of course, in regards to women, they are the weaker vessel. The Lord has shown us that. They are weaker just physically. And honestly, it's just by the virtue of the way women are made and the way that the Lord has designed the male gender and the female general, women are vulnerable. They're vulnerable. And so the modesty, innocence, chastity, fathers, parents, we need to protect that in our girls. We need to protect that in our daughters because it just one moment, things can be changed. And so we need to prepare them and we need to instruct them. The issue of nakedness is not just in regards to women. Men need to clothe themselves too. We need to cover up our nakedness because the Lord is not pleased with that. And we'll take a look at some scriptures that make that clear. He says here, in like manner also, women adorn themselves in modest apparel, not like Diana, not like the example that is prevalent and prominent in Ephesus, with shamefacedness and sobriety. Diana is very bold. She is bold to hunt. She is bold to feed that of the wood and the creatures of the wood. She is brazen to be a goddess of mankind. And the Lord says it shouldn't be that way with women. Now understand, Paul is not a hater of women. Paul understands the place that the Lord has made for women, that is the greatest place of blessing indeed. It's the greatest place. He said, modest apparel. Watch your chastity. Watch the taking care of your temple with shamefacedness and sobriety, understanding what's really going on. Not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, like Diana's headdress is. And is it wrong to wear jewelry? No, but don't overdo it. Is it wrong to take care of yourself and as the ladies would say, wear something pretty? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But don't let that be your whole person. That if you don't have that, that's all you are. Okay? Shamefacedness. There's a right attitude and a right way. We're not talking about piety as some would, we're not talking about a sour attitude and a sour disposition, but just understand to be a good witness and a good example, not like Diana, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Is the Lord saying that he doesn't want women to brush their hair? No. And if you wear braids, is that bad? Is that evil? No, that's not. But don't let that be all there is. If you don't get your hair braided, that you're just going to fall apart and everybody's going to hate you. No, don't let that be your whole person. We'll take a look at something here shortly. Let's read the entire passage. But that which becometh, verse 10, women professing godliness with good works. A match to where it can be said, that's a godly woman. There's a distinction. And the thing is, we're not talking about that which is undertaken by other groups or cults or such, that they wear, the women wear a certain little hat and they wear all the same kind of cut of dress and uniform and that. That is not necessarily right. It's certainly not salvation. But just to wear clothes modestly, orderly, and to cover up. And men should cover up. We should all cover up our nakedness too. Let the woman learn in silence, it says, with all subjection in verse number 11. And so we'll go on to that here in next time. Turn over here to 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's take a look here. Parallel passage that deals with this. Brother Peter does. We've touched on this before. Let's hit it again. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 3. Well, let's read from verse 1. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any be that if any obey not the word, an unsaved husband, they also may be without the word, won by the conversation, the thinking, the speech, and the doing of the wife. Conversation of the wives. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation. It's pure. It's modest. It's not flirtatious. It's not exhibitionist. But it's reserved according to the Lord. They're dedicated in their body to their husbands. As a brother writes in the epistles to the church at Corinth, the body of the wife belongs to the husband and nobody else. And the body of the husband belongs to the wife, no one else, not even for display. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be that of the outward adorning, of the plaiting of the hair, or the wearing of gold, or the putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek, that's power under control. You could go, you would have a woman, if you will, if you can understand this, a woman that could go and set the world on fire with her body and with her being, and I mean that in a bad way, but you know what? She's got that under control, and she reserves that for her husband in the bond of marriage. With a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God, that's of great price. So obedience to the Lord and how we conduct ourselves and that of the women is right before the Lord. Let's take a look here at some passages. Proverbs chapter 7. And again, understand that this is in Ephesus, if we understand it correctly, or anywhere in Asia Minor or in Greece for sure. And so this is something that they have to deal with head on. This is something that they have to teach their daughters. having been saved, having been saved out of those things, pressure from all those around. Proverbs chapter 7, and Solomon writes unto his children and to his sons. We'll not read the whole thing. But in Proverbs chapter 7, verse number 10, Brother Solomon says he looked on out of his window and he beheld the simple ones, young men, youths, the devoid of understanding. In verse number 10, and behold, there met him a woman with the attire of an harlot and subtle of heart. And so, women, men, we can dress inappropriately. Not only do we need to cover up our nakedness and cover up our skin, but we need to watch how we do it. A woman can wear a dress or a skirt, but it can be made out of the wrong material. It can be the wrong size. Men can do the same thing. We need to cover up. The revealing of the cleavage is not a thing of beauty. That's not a thing of beauty. It's a thing that's disrespectful to the Lord and not honoring. Remember how our Lord in the day of his ministry, he made it very clear that men can commit, and even women so, can commit adultery in their hearts. And we're just as guilty. And so it is. We need to be in the Lord's church. Certainly, we need to be a help one to another. In our conversation out in the world, we don't need to reveal our nakedness one to another. And we are made the way that we are made, and we are to deal with that on the inside. But ladies, help us. Help us, okay? Help us in that way of covering up nakedness and not revealing self. Men, we need to do so too. We need to cover up our nakedness and watch the clothes that we wear. There is an alluring attire. Now, we're not talking about pretty and nice and neat, but that which is alluring, that which reveals too much of the body. We're not to reveal our body. Again, it's reserved. You young ladies, you're not married. Well, one day, maybe the Lord has a husband for you. You know what? You're to keep yourselves now. You're to keep yourselves now. Young men, boys, you're not married now, but maybe one day the Lord would have a wife for you. You're to keep yourself now. You're to keep yourself now for that future spouse. Parents, let us be aware of this. And this is the case in all things with our children. In the rearing of our children and the teaching of our children, especially regarding this subject, we need to be ahead of the curve. We need to be teaching about our children and the revealing of their nakedness before they get to the next stage. I'll give you an example. We have such in our family, Clarissa and myself and some of our family, that when the little girls were young, they would go about wearing shorts and going around playing, and nobody would think anything about it and all that. And those shorts would be, you know, mid-leg or whatever. And then they would get up and playing, and you know, they were maybe so young they would be wearing a diaper and all that. And children, when they're young, they need help cleaning up and changing their diapers and dealing with them. I mean, there's a great trust there unto those adults that care for them. You know, as we got terrible things in the world that happen with children. And the Lord speaks about those that millstones need to be hung around their necks. But then that little child begins to grow up. And let's just fast forward to teenage. That little child, when they're there and they come up and the family's gathered around and all that, that little child would maybe grandpa is going to tell us a story or something or tell him something. And that little child would get there and in front of the group and just sit down cross their legs and everything would be fine. Nobody would think anything about it. But I tell you what, that child is a 16-year-old or a 17-year-old having those little shorts on and crossing her legs there in front of the whole group is not right, because she's a woman more than she is a child. Same thing with the boys. We need to watch the nakedness in our homes. Adam and Eve were given clothes to wear when they were married and nobody else was on their dirt ball. Nobody else was on the earth. Now, Adam and Eve, according to the design of the Lord, could enjoy that intimacy that the Lord had made for marriage. But you know what? A pattern was being established. A pattern was being established that in public and in families, clothes need to be worn. Because When is it, parent, that you shift the gears? Honey, it's okay to wear this now. But now today, you're too old to wear that. I've been wearing it all my life. Think. We need to be ahead of the curve, not behind the curve. Because things, once, like the saying goes, once a horse gets out of the barn, it's sure hard to get him back in, isn't it? So think about that. And if you want more clarity about that, ask. There is alluring attire. There is that reveals our nakedness. Let's go over to Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah 47. Brother Jim, that's none of your business. I think the Apostle Paul was teaching Brother Timothy about how to deal with it and dress it in the church, don't you? Indeed it is. It's something very practical and very real that we deal with, and we need to hear and know what our Lord says about it. Isaiah 47, verse number 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Our Lord's speaking of Israel. She's in captivity, or going to go into such. And the terrible thing that is upon her, or will come upon her, is being described. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, which is an embarrassment. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance and will not meet thee as a man. Here our Lord makes very clear that the uncovering of the thigh is nakedness. An anatomy lesson is the thigh is from the knee all the way up here to the hip. It's what the Lord says, not me. It's what the Lord says. It's nakedness to uncover the thigh. And here he speaks into Israel prophetically and in the midst of their trouble that what's going to happen, they wanted to go after iniquity. And so the Lord said, you'll have iniquity and you'll have everything that goes with it. Everything that goes wicked with it. And so may the Lord help us that we cover up our nakedness according to what the Lord has given us. Nakedness is there's a shame. There should be a shame. And you know what? We need to instill a shame in our children and have the Lord help us to have that instilled in us. Take a look over here in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. Our Lord charging the churches of Asia Minor. And here he's speaking to the church at Laodicea. And listen to what the Lord says unto this church and to us. Verse number 18 of Revelation 3. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. He wants them to be able to see well, according to the Lord. But he wants their nakedness covered up too. It's a shame for nakedness to not be covered up. You know, that's the reason we need to instruct our children. Naturally, allowing a young child to go on and to be naked, even in the home, they become accustomed to it. They get used to it. That just becomes the normal. That part of their sense of shame of covering up, I believe, is taught myself. Because how is it that you can get a grown man to go to a pool wearing a pair of underwear and go swimming and not be blushing? He's got over being ashamed. How is it you can get a woman to go to a pool hardly wearing anything that we would never wear in here and go to the pool in front of hundreds of people to and from and while there and not even have, I'm blushing thinking about it. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us that we have the right, have the shame that's correct and right about this. Genesis chapter 9, let's take a look over here. Genesis chapter 9. And I believe that that's the issue. That's the understanding and conclusion that I've come, is that that's the issue, is that of nakedness, that of revealing the body, even through clothing. We need to be careful about that and do that as best as we can. You know what? The pervert, the one who is perverted in their mind, nothing can be done to help them. But there is a normal order of things that can be done, that we can help one another indeed. Genesis chapter 9, we come to verse number 22. And this is early on with brother Noah and his son. Verse number 22 of Genesis 9. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father, that is Noah, and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both on their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now, did the brothers say that's no big deal? No. The brothers, Shem and Japheth, went to great efforts to not, even as they covered up their father, to not look upon his nakedness. And Ham, at the very least, make fun of it. And there's dispute about what happened there. And that's a subject for another time. But it wasn't good. With Ham seeing the nakedness of his father Noah, do you note that as a good thing? And many times it is with public bathing and that everybody's seeing everybody's nakedness. Is God pleased with it? No, I don't believe that he is. And may the Lord help us with that. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Let's take a look here. Exodus chapter 20. Verse number 26. Here our Lord, and in regards to the priests and such, is telling from his standpoint that they need to be covered up even underneath their garments. Neither shalt thou go up, it says in verse number 26, as the Lord gives the law, neither shalt thou go up by steps into mine altar, that thy nakedness not be discovered thereon. Exodus chapter 28, verse number 42. You know, I'm of the opinion that women should wear skirts and dresses, and even our girls should do so. But the thing is, there's got to be wisdom in that. That they have undergarments that when they're out there rustling and tussling with their brothers and their cousins, that their nakedness is not revealed underneath their dresses. We need to have wisdom in that. And ladies, when you work, maybe you work and get up on a ladder or something, you got to make provision for that. You got to have understanding about how to deal with that and figure it out. Our forebears did for hundreds of years, and may we do so too. And men, we need to cover up too. We're not exempt from this discussion. In Exodus chapter 28, verse number 42, here in regards to the priesthood also, our Lord says in verse 42, and thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness, that's speaking of the priest, from the loins, that's the waist, even unto the thighs shall they reach. Because they're there butchering those animals or getting those animals, preparing them for sacrifice, and they're doing a lot of work. They've got their robes and their priestly garments on. And in all that service there at the tabernacle and at the temple, the Lord said need to be covered up. But it's hot. Remember when I preached about sacrificing for the Lord? Maybe just go ahead and be hot for the Lord. Amen. Be hot and sweat a little bit for the Lord. Which is better, to displease the Lord or be a little hot? I'm hot natured. You know that about me. But which is better? May the Lord help us that we hear our Lord in this. Exodus chapter 32, verse number 25. You remember the condemnation of the Lord when Aaron made the golden calf. It just jumped up out of the fire, didn't it? Right? Wasn't that the answer? No, they wanted a god to lead them from Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb. And what is it that it says here, the condemnation that the Lord has in the scriptures? Exodus 32, verse number 25. And when Moses saw that the people were naked, For Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies. What's going on there? These people are free. They've been in bondage for hundreds of years. This generation knows nothing but bondage. And they've got their freedom. They've waited on Moses to come down from the mountain, and he's not come down. Said, Aaron, get up and make us a God that we can worship like the Egyptians. And when they pursued that worship and that riotousness and no doubt drunkenness and all the things that go along with that, they took their clothes off. They were naked. That's what it says, isn't it? Because that's the way the Egyptians worshiped. That's the way the Egyptians, the world, went around. And they said, we want to be free like them. But were they free? No, they were not. They were in bondage. Our brother preached at camp about the boundaries that the Lord has given us in the way that is Christ, by His truth, that is life. You know what? You and I have been saved to live freely for our Lord. We know what sin is. We can know what nakedness and bondage to sin is. And may we live freely unto our Lord and be obedient to Him. Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. Now, in the medical profession, you and I both know that the medical profession is most humbling, isn't it? It is. And in the medical profession, and are we glad we've got medicine? Tell you what, when my appendix checked out, when my kidney became cancerous, I'm glad we've got medicine. But for both of those, they made me take all my clothes off and just be under that sheet. And I didn't like that. But, you know, it was necessary to keep it all clean, to get me to take out the bad parts and get me cleaned up and so I might live. Not talking about that, is it? No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about day-to-day life. Leviticus 18 is a fine chapter that explains some of these things to us. And this is just beyond appearance. But look what the wording that the Lord has. We don't have time for all this. But you can read it, and I pray that you would read it on your own. Verse 6 of Leviticus 18. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. You notice that? Don't be taking other people's clothes off. And don't be looking to spy out their nakedness. God is the Lord. He puts that punch in there. He said, you forget who's watching. Don't do that. The nakedness of thy father, verse number 7, or the nakedness of thy mother, thou shalt not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. What was it that the Lord had accusation and quarrel with the inhabitants of Canaan? The iniquity of the Amorites that was not yet full, but one day did get full, was they were guilty of all these things. They were naked one to another. A father would go into a maid, and his son would go into a maid, and fornication and wickedness. And the Lord said he got tired of it. And it all starts from the revealing of the skin. And so it goes on down here. Verse 9, the nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or the daughter of thy mother. Verse number 10, the nakedness of thy son's daughter. Verse number 11, the nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter. And on and on and on. Verse 12, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister, your aunt. Verse 13, thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister. It should not be uncovered by one. It should not be uncovered by self. We need to beware and not reveal our nakedness unto one another and the world. Chapter 20 is another chapter in this line. In the worship there, and he gives verse number 10, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall be surely put to death. It's inordinate. And we understand that, and this is talking about even intimate relationships and that it should not be. Why is pornography such a big business? It's a big business because men are prone to it and given to it, and then it just leads on to more. With dope and drink, it never stops with just the beginning, does it? It's the same thing with these things physical. So there's Leviticus 18 and 20 to consider. Habakkuk 2:15. Habakkuk, down there at the end of the Bible. Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Nahum, Habakkuk, right? Habakkuk 2:15. Listen to the warning of the Lord. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor, 2:15 of Habakkuk. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, and that putteth thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, so making one drunken, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. This is happening in fraternities and sororities all over the land. And you that have been to college, you that have been to university, you know that that's the case. And the thing is, those things were going on in the day that we went, and how much more it's going on now. Young people wrecking and ruining their lives, giving away their innocence, their chastity, and diving headlong and along into fornication that just leaves them in misery and the drunkenness that goes with it. Brother Rankin, he mentioned in our camp about the order and the pattern. One day I want to take that order that he gave there and make a message of that, because it's really true. It's really true for so many. It starts off with many just as an innocent drink, and it ends up all the way over at murder. When we look at it just soberly that way, isn't that something? You know, and our children, as they grow up and they go into the world, we need to prepare them with the truth of God's word. We need to instill in them. We cannot live for them, but it's given to us as parents to prepare them for what lies ahead. And you know what? They're going to have to face that. But that path's for so many that starts with a drink, or starts with a little bit of dope, and ends up at murder. And it's prevalent all over our land. And we've got, with abortion, we've got fornication with no inconvenience. And that's what that is. Fornication with no inconvenience. Because of the attitude and the way we need to cover up our nakedness. Mark chapter 5, verse number 15. Mark chapter 5, verse number 15. Our brother that was saved by the Lord there at Gadara, the demoniac at Gadara, what was the testimony of him? He went about naked. I venture that they couldn't hardly bury somebody at that cemetery, because he was there always causing a ruckus. When do you reckon they tried to tie him up? When they needed to bring somebody to the cemetery, I wonder. I just muse about that. I don't know about that. But they said that the fetters, the chains, because he was possessed, he could just break them, pluck them asunder. But the Lord shows up, praise God, and the man is saved. And what's the testimony here in Mark 5:15? And they come to Jesus, the townspeople, and they see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion, so many demons within him, sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. They liked him better, naked, going crazy. But he's there clothed. How did he get clothed? Well, either found some of his clothes, or some of the brethren have enough clothes to give to him. And before Jesus, which you and I always are, we need to be clothed. We need to be clothed. We need to be clothed in our in public, and as we are addressed. And understand that, again, the intimacy between a husband and a wife in the bed of marriage, and that we understand about that, and we're not speaking about that. But beyond that, we need to have our clothes. Mark chapter 6. Take a look here. Mark chapter 6. John is in prison. Herod has put him in ward. Locked him up. You remember about Herodias? Do you remember about her daughter? And she came in and danced before Herod. Verse number 22, and when the daughter of said Herodias, Mark 6, came in and danced and pleased Herod and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. Verse number 23, and he sware unto her, whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give thee into the half of my kingdom. Now, what do you think? I don't think she was dressed too well. Do you? I don't think so. This kind of a reaction? No. No, not without her being revealing herself, and the only the Lord knows to what extent. But again, there is that attire of a harlot. So, ladies, help out those around you by covering up your nakedness. And I'm thankful that our ladies do. Always be on guard for such about the attire. Men, we need to cover up our nakedness too. And just because you got some garments on, they need to be wore correctly also. And not too tight in the right places. Maybe you don't understand about that and you need help with that. You know, there are those, our older ladies can help with that in the church. But may we be, and the Lord help us to be, as our Lord would be pleased. In like manner also, that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Not nakedness like Diana, the image, the statue of Diana. Now listen, and men, we're not exempt. If you wear what you wear to please me, you're missing the mark. We all need to seek to please our Lord, because the Lord's watching all the time. The Lord's watching when we're here in services, and the Lord's watching how we instruct our children and what they wear and how we're teaching them about these things. And I tell you, parents, use the Bible to teach your children about what the Lord says about these things. You know, our opinion, it can carry a little weight as parents, but as they get older, it's going to carry less and less weight. But what the Lord says, it's there before them, because that's part of the parents' responsibility, is to teach our children so that ultimately when they are grown, they can know that they are accountable not to us, but to God Almighty. That's our job as parents. And may we be a good example of godliness and covering up nakedness unto one another and to a lost and dying world. Difficult subject, but needful. Because you know what? This week you're going to face it. We got nakedness that smacks us in the face everywhere we look. And we become used to it. May the Lord help us that we be sober regarding it.